Welcome to the City Heart Podcast. I'm Pastor Kevin Reed. Thank you for joining us today. And we pray that you're encouraged and enlightened by this message.
And it says here, his disciples deserted him and denied him. Right. So he's going through all this. And then the people that you've been counting on, the people that you've been relying on, the people that have been around you and hanging around you, all of a sudden, they're like, yeah, while we were, you know, we were hanging around, that was great. But now, you know, Jesus, you know, we've had a good run. Right. Yeah, Jesus, that was great before this whole big cross thing that you're talking about. But you're leaving us, man, I can go do some other stuff. Right. There's something else that I can kind of hang on to. And so his disciples began to desert him and deny him. He was beaten to within an inch of his life. That's what he endured for us on the cross. Now, back in the day, the way they used to beat you, it's not just like, you know, we kind of got a nice belt. Right. And we threaten our kids, hey, I want to beat your butt. Right. Not like that. This whip had like 12 prongs on it. And on each prong would have what they called cattails. It would have metal that would claw at your back and literally rip your back open. It had pieces of stone that would literally shred the tissue underneath your skin so that if you kind of looked, it looked like hamburger meat. That's what he endured on the cross for us. That's what he endured. What else happened? A crown of thorns was pressed into his head. And then the scripture says that he was beaten over the head. Basically, what they were trying to do was drive the thorns in further. Right? So not only do you put a crown of thorns on his head, man, that's going to hurt. But then let me just smack your head a couple times so it can drive those thorns in a little bit more. That would hurt. That's what he endured on the cross for us. And this is before he even gets on the cross, right? This is in the time just leading up to that, in the midst of having to go to trial and being falsely accused, which most of us would crumble under that pressure, under intense beatings. Most of us would just crumble under that pressure. But no, he just said, man, you know what? I have to continue going. There's more that I can bear. There's more that I can endure for us. While he was going through all this, he's thinking about us and he's saying, man, I can't stop here because somebody in 2017 is going through a struggle. They're going through a pain. There's somebody that's in a place where they've lost all hope. And if I stop at the point where thorns are driven into my head, then they won't be saved. But he's saying, I'm going to keep going a little bit further. What else happened? He carries the weight of the cross. He's carrying a cross, a timber, literally a tree, weighing from 80 to about 110 pounds. And the distance, some people can barely go 100 yards with a line, 5 and 6 football fields, right? Some people can barely go 100 yards with a light football. Imagine carrying a tree on your back for 5 to 6 football fields long. Luckily, he got a little help. But imagine carrying that even halfway, even one football field's length. A lot of us would just crumble under that pressure. We would crumble under the weight of all of that. Then he's nailed to the cross. He has nails driven literally into the hand. It was probably more like this wrist area, right? Driven into his nails and driven into his feet on the cross, right? And he's probably saying like, this is kind of the way one foot is with a nail driven through the other. Nails driven through each wrist. And as he hung on the cross, can you imagine what that pressure? He hung on there for 6 hours, right? This is some of the stuff that we don't like to talk about a lot as Christians, right? We don't like to think about this stuff. We love, oh, God's about love and peace and joy. And he is awesome. But there was a reason why the medical, kind of the physical things that he would have gone through would have been severe cramps, dehydration. He would have had tremendous blood loss, lack of oxygen from literally just hanging. Right, and to the point where he would have to lift himself up while hanging there just to get a breath. Just so I can breathe just a little bit. 6 hours. Think about that. With the sin of the world upon him, Jesus suffered, not, okay, physically great, but even a spiritual death where he's separated from his Father, where he calls out, man, God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you turned your back on me, God? And it wasn't for anything he did. It's for all the stuff that we've done. It's for the times that we've turned our back on him and we've denied him and we've just done everything else but follow him. He took the hardest part and gave us the easy part. He went to the cross on our behalf. And that's why we're saying no greater love, because I fully believe that when Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that there was no greater act of love that has ever been shown to mankind. Not one. Doesn't even come close. If you combine everything that we feel like we've done, I try to bring my wife flowers occasionally and do some stuff and take her on a date night. And if all of us in this room did that, it doesn't even scratch the surface. Not a skin flake of what he's done. How amazing is that? And he didn't do it for himself. He did it for us. And that's why on Easter, look, like I said, I love the Easter egg hunts, and I love that stuff. And we decided to keep it really simple because, man, I'm just like, you know what? I want to really focus on why he went to the cross. It was for me. I can think of just the skeletons in my closet that he endured on the cross for me, something that he did not have to do. But it was a gift of God to us it was a gift from God to us, to all mankind, of him being on the cross. There is no greater love. There is no greater love. And why did he do it? John 3:16, we know it. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus knowingly risked his own life so that we would just have an opportunity. We would have a choice to believe. We would, if we could just make a decision. That's really it. He did all the suffering. He's saying, here's what you have to do. Just make a decision. That's our job. God sent his son. Why? Because he loves you. He endured the cross. He endured the pain. He endured the beatings and the thorns in his head and people turning their backs on him and denying him and doing all this stuff. Why? Simply for the fact that he loves you. And that picture, if you can imagine in your mind of Jesus hanging on the cross, that picture is literally, when I think of love now, that's the picture that I see. When I think of what is love? And we ask that question a lot, man, what is love? We say it in songs all the time. What is love? We say, girl, I need love. And there's all these songs where we talk about love. And I'm like, man, what is love? What is love? When I think of it now, it's that picture of him hanging, carrying my sin and my shame and my guilt and the things that I've done, hanging there for me, enduring intense scrutinizing pain on my behalf. 1 Corinthians 13:4-8 says this. If we're thinking about love, it says that love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. When he went to the cross, all of these things that we would say, man, when we say I love you, when he went to the cross, he's saying, I'm doing all these things for you. I'm being patient. I'm being kind. I'm not envying, I'm not being boastful, I'm not being proud. I don't have to dishonor people. It wasn't a self-seeking act. It wasn't one done out of anger. And just imagine that with carrying all our sins, he kept no record of wrongs. Can you imagine that? I'm glad I wasn't Jesus, because I'd be mad at some of y'all hanging there. Right? It had to be somebody that was perfect. It had to be a completely perfect person that offered a perfect sacrifice for us. We couldn't have done it. And it's that unconditional love. It's referred to as agape love, right? It's that God kind of love. There's some different kind of love. You have eros love, which is basically like the romantic or the sexual love that we think about. There's phileo love, which is the brotherly love that we share. But nothing compares to the God kind of love. His love for you is unconditional. And he doesn't love you because of some virtue that you have, because you're so great. It's not because of that. There's nothing that you have. There's nothing that's so fabulous about you that there's nothing that's so great about you that explains why he loves you. He loves you because he is love. That's his nature. That's just who he is. He loves us. despite our sins, despite the stuff we've done wrong. He loves you because of who he is, not because of how great you are. Because truth be told, we're not so great. I looked in the mirror this morning and I was like, man, whew, I got some stuff I could be working on. I'm not so great. Sometimes we get, you know, we're such a selfie culture now where everything is, man, look at how great I am. Let me stand in the mirror and you got to get the good, you know, the good bathroom shot. You know, it's like, right? Let me just continue to post how great I am, how wonderful I am, how, man, look at this meal I made, or look at what I'm eating right now, look at where I'm going, and it's all about our own greatness. But honestly, if we think about it, did I deserve what he's done? Do I deserve what he did on the cross for me? And the answer, honestly, no. No. Did I deserve it? No. But he did it anyway. He did it anyway. He went to the cross for me anyway. He shed his blood for me anyway. Knowing the stuff that I know about me, he did that for me anyway. Ooh, man, that's tough. And sometimes, look, we think that, man, it's kind of unfair. Right? Because there's people that, man, I'm living right and I'm a Christian, I'm doing the right thing. But there's people that do so much dirt. There's people that do so much wrong. But if truth be told, we all have some stuff that if we look to the cross, I recognize that, man, that nail was some of the stuff that I did. Those thorns are some things that I thought, that I said, that I did on my own. But the beauty is this, John 3:17 says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. This wasn't an action as painful as it was, as hard as it was. It was an action to save us, to bless us, to make our lives better, to make us whole. Why? Because we need a savior. I couldn't have gone by myself. There's nothing I can do to save myself. There's nothing we can do to save ourselves. We need Jesus. We need what he did on the cross. I need him daily in my life. I can't live without him. I can try as I might, but eventually those sins and all that shame and that stuff, it catches up to me. I need a savior. I need someone like Jesus to continually be in my life. And here's the thing, what other people have done wrong, and sometimes we don't like to go to church, we don't like to engage with God because of what other people have done. We've been church hurt and Christians hurt. And let me tell you, if you have that perspective, I get it. I get why people are just like, I'm, man, later for church. I'm kind of good. Later for God. I'm not saying I agree, but I kind of understand. But if you think about it, it's really not an excuse. Because you have to make your own decision, and it can't be based on what other people's relationship with God and what other people have done. I've got to know God for myself. I have to make sure that, man, I'm aligning with God and what he did on my own. We can't resolve our own sins. We can't save ourselves. Why? Because our unholy sin, who we are, our unholiness can't be connected to a holy God on our own. We had to have something that was fully God and fully man, that was perfect, that was sinless, so that we could have this bond with God. He's continually saying, hey, I want to be with you and I want to connect with you. And a lot of times in our ways, we're trying to go this way. We're trying to reach God. But he's saying, no, I've sent my son so that I could come to you, so that I could have a relationship with you. Why? Because I care so much about you, because I love you. What other decision can you make but to say, God, man, yes, I'll follow you. That's our part. It's so easy. And we skip past it. Why? I don't know why sometimes. It's people that I've seen God do such amazing things in their life. They've been blessed and healed from diseases. And God has given them businesses, and they've been blessed through their business. And they've had amazing wives and husbands. And they have amazing kids. And they have all this stuff. And still just refuse to have a relationship with God, to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, but for no other reason than it's uncomfortable. Somebody might look at me bad. People might think I'm this certain way. People might actually hold me accountable for the things I do and say. So I would just rather not. I'd rather not deal with that pain. I'd rather not deal with people kind of looking at me and scorning me and turning their backs on me. I'd rather not deal with people talking about me on Facebook and social media and saying stuff about me. I can just be cool with not being a Christian. I'm okay. I'm all right. I'll make it on my own. But imagine Christ went through all that. People spitting on him, pulling hair out of his beard. People on the cross, and they're cursing at him for me. At some point, we have to reconcile that in our lives to say, what is it that I'm going to do? What is it in my life that needs to change in my own life? What is love? And we see love expressed through this. 1 John 4:10, it says this. This is love. We read it earlier. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and he sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. God didn't want you to do the heavy lifting. And we see three things, and I'm almost done here. We see three things in God's love that makes what he does greater than any love that we could have done. It's three things. Love gives. Love gives. The action that we see from God is that love gives. Giving to others is an act of kindness, patience, and humility. What God did for us was say, you know what? I love you so much that I'm going to give you my son. I'm going to give you the greatest thing that I could have ever given to you. Caring for others, it's an act of hope. Caring for others is an act of honor and friendship. Love cares. He's saying, not only am I going to give you a gift, but I'm actually going to care for you as well. And beyond that, I'm actually going to sacrifice for you also. Sacrificing for others is an act of hope and trust. But a lot of us, if we think about it, we've been deceivers, we've been deniers of Christ, and we've been doubters. Right? He's done all this stuff, but our return action to him is something different than what he's given. Am I the only one, right? There's times where God's reached out to me and he's loved me and he's cared about me, but what I've given him back has not matched up to what he's done for me. And we see it in this in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were sinners, he died for us. But the amazing thing is this. He went to the cross carrying our sin and shame. He went to there carrying our guilt and the things that we've done wrong. He went there with everything that we've done lying on his shoulders, and he went to the grave with all of that. But it didn't end there. He got up, right? He rose from the grave, and he lives now in our hearts. Why? Because had he stayed on the cross, had he stayed there, my sin would have stayed there. The price wouldn't have been fully paid, but he had to die carrying my sins so that in him I could live again. So that as he rose, now I arise as a new person. As he lives, now I live, and I have the opportunity to not worry about my sin if I just believe in him. There is hope that's on the other side of it, of the cross. There's peace that's on the other side of the cross. There's salvation that's on the other side of the cross. And all we have to do is believe. He did the hard work. We get the easy part. We get the Easter eggs. He got the thorns in his head, and we get the little grass in the Easter basket. We get the fun stuff. We get to enjoy his presence and his Holy Spirit. We get to wake up saying, God, I love you. God, thank you for forgiving me of my sins. And we just get to walk away like nothing happened, just as if we're justified. We're made right with God by what he did. And that's the easy part for us. If we would just say, Lord, I believe you, that I trust in you, that I'm grateful for your love. Then that's the thing about love. Love is something that we want reciprocated. If I'm going to give love, I want to receive it back. What God is saying, man, look at all this stuff I did. And he did it really without wanting anything back. But you know what? There's a response that I can give anyway. There's two responses that I can give. The first one is this. I can just say, you know what, Lord, I love you. And because I love you, I'm willing to follow you because I know that it's more than rules. It's more than all the stuff that you went to the cross because you love me so much. You cared about me so much. You shed your blood for me because you love me so much. Despite my sin and my shame, you saw the greatness that was in me. He sees the purpose that's in you. He sees the call in your life. And he's saying, will you just love me? Will you follow me? Will you be my witnesses? Will you help somebody else out to come and find me and to help them recognize what I've done? There's no greater love than what Jesus accomplished on the cross. And I know this is a super serious message, and I'm sorry, right? And I'm sweating, and I apologize for that. But I want to get it across, and normally I'm really funny. So for those of you who come another Sunday, and I'll tell a lot more jokes. Anyway, but why? This, it's so serious, and sometimes I forget. I forget myself. Sometimes I get, man, we just kind of get into a groove as a Christian, and we're just, man, we're doing it, and we're loving God a little bit, and we're kind of halfway reading our word, and we're kind of halfway walking with him, and kind of halfway experiencing his presence. But what he's desiring for us, what I'm desiring for myself, is to know him in a real way. I want to know him like never before. I want to be kind of, I want to be in a way where the love that he's given me, that I'm giving it back in such a way that just can't compare. That what he's done for me, man, I know that I can't match up, but I'm going to try to do everything I can in my power just to reverence him and to honor him and to love him just for who he is. I'm at that point in my life where I'm saying, man, I can't play games with God anymore. I have to love him because he's done so much. Because I know how much I've done, and I recognize that I can't save myself. I need him. I'm just at that place. I'm just being vulnerable right now. I'm sorry. I'm just at that place where God, man, you know what? I can't compare to what you've done. There's nothing I could do except to follow you, except to honor you with my life, except to live a life that's holy, except to be, man, be somebody that cares about other people enough to share the gospel with them. That's just where I am. I love him that much that I just have to do that. And I'm saying today, if you're going to honor this day, if we're going to celebrate Easter, which we should, let's celebrate it in the right way by remembering who he is.
Thank you for checking out this message from City Heart Church. If you'd like to hear more from this series, or if you'd like to hear more about our church, you can check us out online at cityheartjackson.com, or you can check us out on social media at cityheartjxn.